The Volume.
Streaming has gotten way too complicated, but you can hack the system with Prime Video. It has everything in one app with one password. See Roadhouse, Giannis, The Marvelous Journey, and the National Women's Soccer League, all included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on, or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. Prime Video. It's all your favorite content in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/Amazon Prime for details.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Last season on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
We did, but honestly, I was left with more questions than answers, Tony.
I'm Tony Karen Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
And I'm Michael Costa, comedian from The Daily Show.
Join us for season 2 of Choosing Sides F1.
Our F1 102, if you will.
And get all of the answers.
All of them? Listen to Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts.
The deep sea is closer than you think at Monterey Bay Aquarium. Into the deep, exploring our undiscovered ocean, open Saturday, April 9th. This new exhibit will give you the experience of descending from the ocean surface through the dark abyss to the seafloor, and a rare look at the animals that thrive in the depths. Into the Deep features species displayed for the first time anywhere. Some so new to science, they have yet to be named. Don't miss it. Buy tickets and reserve your day at MontereyBayAquarium.org.
Gorgeous gaming, stunning streams, unbelievable bandwidth. Welcome to another Lifestyles of Gagillionaires. Meet the AT&T Fiber customers winning at life with hyper gig speeds. Say hello to the Walkers, a family of not one, but four gagillionaires, each living up their gagillionaire life at ludicrous internet speed. First up, Anna Walker. She dominates streaming like the matriarch she is. No show ever goes unwatched under her watch.
Next episode.
Next up, Peter Walker. There's no stopping this dad bod from showing up to his virtual workout sessions.
Oh, let's go leg day.
And finally, the Walker twins. They may look alike, but couldn't internet more differently. Harry dominates his fellow online gamers while Heather group video chats with friends.
Ooh, nice background filter, Jess.
Live like a gagillionaire. Get internet that upgrades everything. AT&T Fiber, now with speeds up to 5 gigs.
Limited availability in select areas. Speeds not guaranteed. Single device wired speed, max 4.7 gig per second. Visit att.com/hypergig for details.
What grows in the forest? Our imagination and our family bonds. The forest is closer than you think. Find a forest near you at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Jenkins and Jones is presented by FanDuel Sportsbook. There's no better place to make every moment more than with FanDuel. We love FanDuel Sportsbook at Jenkins and Jones. They've got great odds and markets for NBA, NHL, college basketball, and so much more. There's awesome new and existing user promotions, and it's America's number one sportsbook. FanDuel Sportsbook is easy to use. It's safe and secure, and you get your winnings fast. Now winnings are delivered in as quick as 2 hours. It's also fun to combine multiple bets from the same game into a same-game parlay. Discover the most popular same-game parlays each day right when you log in. If you're new, just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app to get started now. Sign up with promo code JANJ, that's spelled out J-A-N-D-J, so they know that we sent you. Disclaimer, must be 21 and over and present in Arizona, Colorado, Connecticut, Iowa, Illinois, Indiana, Louisiana, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, or Wyoming. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. Welcome to Jenkins and Jones on the Volume Podcast Network. It's Wednesday, March 30th, and we've got a lot of, actually, no fun things to talk about. We're not allowed to talk about funny things anymore. Comedy is dead. As always, Jenkins and Jones is hosted by my good friends, Dragonfly Jones, a.k.a. Tyler.
Hey, everybody. Have a good.
LeJethro Jenkins, a.k.a. John, a.k.a. Young PJ, a.k.a. Banned from Twitter.
A.k.a. Southwest me next time, please. I'm a regular nigga. Thank you very much. I'll take security, but what's that, Bubbles?
I'm Guardy B, a.k.a. Mike, and I already mentioned, you know, comedy's dead. R.I.P. to comedy. Great run from the dawn of the species until Sunday, March 27th, 2022. But Tyler, we're not allowed to, nothing's funny. Comedians are under assault. We're not allowed to make jokes anymore. No new comedies are allowed to be produced. This is a tough day for our show, I have to say.
First they took my guns. Then they took my dog. Then they took my dog's guns. And then now they're coming for comedy. You can't say nothing anymore. You can't joke about anything now without being assaulted. Is this the world we want to live in? That's how you dumb motherfuckers sound. Look, a motherfucker just got slapped. Okay, that's it. We'll be just fine. Comedy is going just fine. I don't know how you can say comedy is dead when this is the funniest shit that has happened in a very fucking long time. I have been laughing at this shit. This is what, day four? Day four, and it's still fucking hilarious, bro. And usually, like, Twitter jokes, they have a fucking three-hour life cycle. We've been going for four fucking days here, and this shit is still fucking hilarious. Comedy's just fine, bro.
I'll argue the funniest thing that ever happened at the Oscars in the history of the fucking Oscars was that shit on Sunday. You feel me? Like, the fuck you mean? But, like, dog, it's always been a consequence of fucking saying, of pushing the wrong button. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Nothing's changed. Comedy's the same. The world's the same. Some people that just didn't see that shit saw it for the first time, nigga. Yeah. You saw the reality that most people live in. You feel me?
Right. That's what I don't get. People are like, oh, so we're just going to live in a world now where you can get slapped if you make a joke about someone and they don't like it? Bitch, we've been living in that world.
What world have you fucking right? been living in, my nigga? That's the world I've always existed right? in, the fuck?
That's the world.
Y'all weird. How y'all moving
yeah,
shit?
Yeah, and they're talking about, well, it doesn't happen to comedians. You're a fucking liar. Go do a comedy club fight YouTube search and watch the thousands of results that you get. Comedians get hands put on them all the fucking time. Comedy's just fine. Free speech or whatever bullshit ass straw man you want to throw out there is just fine, bro.
Free speech has always been there. There's consequences to what you say, though, and that's always been there too. Mm-hmm. You can say whatever the fuck you want to say, you know what I'm saying? But how that person reacts is not up to you. You feel me? And if that motherfucker want to slap the shit out of you in some hard bottoms with their motherfucking ankles out, they can do that too, nigga. And there may be consequences to that. But when you worth $250 million, the consequences ain't that bad, my boy. You know what I'm saying?
You got some cushion there.
You got a little cushion. You got maybe even two cushions worth $250 of them M's. You feel what I'm saying?
Yeah, I don't know. It's been... to be completely honest with you, the overreactions may be funnier to me than some of the jokes people have been making about it. Judd Apatow saying he could have killed Chris Rock.
That has been the funniest commentary about this shit. When everyone is like, Will Smith, how dare you? How could you just do this to this frail, dainty, delicate porcelain flower? Of a man. This poor
of a nigga.
Of a man. How dare you, Will Smith? Like, that's got to be the added insult to injury here. Like, Chris Rock got slapped the fuck up, and everyone was like, Will, how could you? You could have killed that little frail bitch. This was way out of line, Will. You could have committed murder on that bag of bones that you slapped up.
Like they setting up in smoke. He should have got his lick back. You feel me?
Yeah.
If he felt the way, he should have got his motherfucking lick back. You feel me? I don't know, G, but he could have died. There is literally zero chance of him dying from getting slapped. That's how these motherfuckers are. That's how scared these motherfuckers are of consequences.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? A consequence can involve death if it's physical. Nigga, shut the fuck
but
up.
You,
that's ridiculous.
But it's also from white celebrities who think that calling a white person racist is the same as calling a black person the N-word. You know what I mean? Mm. It's exactly what you said. It's like any consequence is just like, what? This is unbelievable.
It's the end of the world. You know what I mean?
I love all the little brother takes because you used to do that with your little brother. Like, hey, my little brother may be small. He may be a coward. He may be physically frail. He may not have any courage. But nobody talks about my little brother, you know?
My little brother might be a bitch, mate, but that's my bitch.
But he's my
bitch. No one calls my little brother a bitch but me, okay?
Hey, low key though, you know what I'm saying? You know, that's how it goes.
I also love all of the hypotheticals. Someone tweeted, I think this wasn't one of the joke ones. I think someone seriously tweeted, what if that had been Betty White?
So no, that was a fact. They said that. He wouldn't have slapped Betty White. And also, Betty White wouldn't have said that weak-ass shit, nigga. You feel me?
That joke
There's a whole bunch of what-ifs.
That joke was weak as fuck, too. A callback
weak
to a fucking
fuck.
1997 Demi Moore movie, bro. Like, come on, man. Like,
who the fuck thinking about G.I. Jane, dog? Yeah, I forgot Demi Moore was a thing ever.
I forgot
you know
she
what I mean?
Existed, bro.
Right, you feel me? The funniest thing about that was that nigga getting slapped because of a G.I. Jane joke. It was a G.I. Jane joke. Yeah, you just risked it all over a G.I. Jane joke, nigga. You should have said that to your fucking self in the mirror before you said the weak ass shit. It's only a G.I. Jane joke, you know what I mean? Nigga, right. Fuck you mean?
Yeah, that shit was trash, bro.
That shit was trash. You deserve to get slapped. Not because of what you said, but because how weak that motherfucking joke was, bitch ass nigga. Right, bull, nigga. They should have threw tomatoes on your ass, nigga. Where were the tomatoes?
Tomato.
Right. That nigga challenged you to a duel over how bad the joke was. If it was funny, it would have been fine, nigga. Probably. You know what I'm saying? Just be funny. You weren't funny enough,
That's
nigga.
The rule. But yeah, I think friend of the show, Zach Fox, had the best take on it. He posted something on his Instagram story that I'm going to read here.
It's perfect.
Slapping,
yes.
Yeah, it's perfect.
Perfect.
Slapping someone is objectively funny. If you're a comic and you get slapped, then you choose and you choose professionalism and appealing to authority over, I don't know, being funny in the moment and maybe, I don't know, telling jokes about it. Well, that's more of an alarming decision than the person who decides to slap you. We supposed to lose and make it hilarious. So many people crying about the sanctity of free speech and comedy, but we saw it in peak form. A rich man slapped another rich man and they both went home richer. You can say whatever you want to say, but you can't control how people react to that. Comedians don't get to be in bulletproof glass cases. Everybody in the world can get smacked. Learn how to fight or make it funny. Cat Williams got jumped by actual kids and gave us comedy gold shortly thereafter. Stop pretending like we're Jedi. We make pussy jokes. That was perfect. That was perfect, man. And yeah, I've been hating the whole comedians are the last truth speakers to power in this country. What is next? We must protect them. Bro, no. No, we don't give
you're
a fuck.
You're not the fucking Avengers, yeah, my right? nigga, okay?
Right?
You know? You're not fighting impending doom.
I think
bro.
What
like,
we've
like,
learned
like Zach said.
What we've learned definitively over the last, like, decade is there are no truth tellers to powers in America. It's either you could be funny and entertaining or not, bro. But, like, does anyone have more faith than they did 10 years ago that journalists or comedians or anyone that we know everything about the, like, corporate power structure that those people are somehow gonna I mean like did George Carlin end Vietnam like no stand-up comedian like Kurt Vonnegut had a quote about that. He's like we feel like as artists we're a laser beam focused on a problem and that we're indestructible because it feels powerful to be a part of a social movement. And he's like, but that the power of that movement is actually the power of a banana cream pie like hitting someone in the face. You can make it funny. But, like, no one, I mean, that's just not the way the world works, bro. And it's so weird to be that romanticized about Oscar hosting. I don't know. Zach Fox, I thought Zach Fox said it perfectly, but people really are. Someone asked a question about this shit at the White House. What is President Biden going to do to protect
what?
Comedians?
He said exact words. He said about the violence that was unleashed.
It was a nigga, too. God damn. Bro, that's anti-black, nigga. You feel me? You know, the last thing we have is the slap, nigga. That's
the great equal.
To balance shit out, you feel me? We can slap the fire out of motherfucker, you feel me? They just crazy. It's wild. If this was to happen, like, anywhere else, most other places, it wouldn't be. It's the fact that they had on fucking suits and hard bottoms, and that shit's not supposed to happen in those white ass spaces.
But even in Europe,
really
bro, in Europe, like in England, people like parliamentarians will fight each other on the floor of the fucking House of Parliament. Like for whatever reason, we have this puritanical. I mean, I shouldn't say for whatever reason because it's America and there's fucking Puritans, right? But like we have this puritanical idea about like you know, behavior and everything else. It's like England, the politicians fight each other. We don't think we'd be better in America if these dudes would fucking hash this shit out in the House of Representatives every now and then.
This is really what shows you what America is. When a motherfucker actually gets slapped and it's like, oh my God, violence. You need a fucking gun in your fucking suburban ass house to feel safe. You are bitch made. I was trying to find another other way to say it, but that's the case. And we see that when you need, when you carry guns and you talk tough and all that shit, and when you see a motherfucker actually have to deal with consequences of their actions, and they should go to jail for fucking defending their wife who has a disease and a nigga just said some shit about it. Bro, you you really ain't what you think you are. Dog. The reason you need that gun is not because you're tough. It's the opposite of that. You feel me?
Dog. I was in a back and forth with a hockey fan. And I didn't realize it was a hockey fan until like a couple tweets deep. But here's the thing. Here's where it fucking ended. I went to his page and I saw this motherfucker's a hockey fan. And I said, okay, so you're a hockey fan and you are against disputes being resolved by harmless scuffles. How the fuck does that work? And he didn't tweet shit back to me after that. Oh, boy, evaporated. Like, bro, I don't fucking account. Get it. It was just a slap. Motherfuckers get slapped all the time. He's just fine. This is not going to be the fucking unraveling of society, bro.
Well, not only is he just fine, but Zach Fox is exactly right that they both went home richer that day. Yeah. Chris Rock's sales for his tour up 88%. I love Chris Rock. He's one of my favorite stand-up comedians ever. His HBO special when I was a kid was like, that was the moment everyone had with Eddie Murphy. That was the first time I realized like, oh, stand-up comedy is not lame. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm, like, mm-hmm. And I was not that excited about this tour. All of a sudden, like, you absolutely can fucking bet Char and I are going to watch that special the first day it's on Netflix. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. This was great for Chris Rock. It's not great for him as a person, maybe, but for him as an artist, which is who got slapped, was Chris Rock, the comedian, got slapped. Like, this is, I just don't understand the hand-wringing over it when it put money in his pocket.
Y'all familiar? You remember Do the Right Thing when they were like, you know, who's your favorite artist? Who's your favorite, you know what I'm saying, basketball player and all that shit? He's like Magic. Well, he's black, but he ain't really black. You know what I mean? He's a nigga, but he ain't, you know what I'm saying? Chris Rock is the closest thing they've seen to a white person get slapped in a white space. You know what I mean? That makes them feel like they could have been the one up there and got fucking assaulted when it's really just consequences of your actions. So that's why they up in arms and that shit, because they could see themselves in Chris Rock. They couldn't have saw themselves in me if I got the shit slapped out of me in a fucking Twitter video, though. You know what I'm saying? Right. So that's why there's a big ass reaction. But and if it happens to be them, hey, maybe they'll watch their mouth now. You know what I'm saying? There's oh shit, actual consequences of what I say. My God.
Dear Lord. The one Dear facing Lord. The harshest consequences so far has been Zoe Kravitz. The Twitter detectives had my magnifying glasses out yesterday for Zoe Kravitz. John, you've missed out on this. Which, yeah, congratulations.
Free me. They suspended me for saying nigga again. The racist ass algorithm has struck again. You feel me? Jesus Christ. Anyway.
You're missing, once again, the only enjoyable week on Twitter.
I can watch it.
Oh, you can scroll it. Okay.
I can see
post.
It, but I can't really participate. Okay. You feel me?
Bro, it has been this you palooza on that motherfucker. Anyone coming out being a cop about this shit, motherfuckers are pulling receipts. Zoe said a very white woman-y thing. That shit, I was like, yeah, this is the white woman coming out of Zoe. She said something.
This is the dress that I wore to the Oscars where I didn't know people could get assaulted and get away with it. And I was like, what the fuck?
I was like, you were just Catwoman out this motherfucker in Gotham being a badass. And now you asking to speak to the manager and shit. But yeah, motherfuckers pulled the receipts. She said some shit about 14-year-old Jaden Smith back in the day. And I was like, bro, should have sat there and ate your food, as they say on Twitter.
She said that, yeah, she has some comments about she doesn't see herself as a black artist. She doesn't identify with, I believe she said, I don't listen to hip hop or watch Tyler Perry movies, so I don't really identify with it. Like,
you don't know what being black is, and apparently based on how you just described that,
right.
You know what,
well,
I mean?
I know when you guys invited me on the podcast, I was like, that's great. I need more friends I can talk about Tyler Perry movies and hip hop with, and nothing else.
When the last time you said hip hop? Hip hop.
Hip hop.
Hip hop, nigga.
Hip hop to me was always like, when we talk about respectability politics, I don't have those hangups racially, obviously, right? But like, I'm a comic book nerd since I was a kid, And comic book fans had a big respectability politics stuff when they started calling them graphic novels.
Right.
You know, hip hop was the same thing to me, bro. It's like, it's rap and comic books. You know what I mean?
Hip hop is to rap as black is to African American, nigga. I'm not African American. I'm black, nigga. Don't call me an African American. You know what I mean? I don't, you know, dog, it's rap, G. I'm not a hip hop fan. You know right. what I mean? I'm a rap fan. Whatever.
That's the same shit I'll be on. It's, yeah, and I want to be clear. I prefer to be called black too, and it's not like I'm shunning the African part of that. I'm
at all.
Yeah, I fully embrace that I have African roots, but I feel that black is something that describes, you know, someone from with my uniquely African to American, you know, African to America pipeline of my lineage. You know what I'm saying? I feel like black describes that American experience exactly there. So that's why
I don't like African American because I don't like the American part. I don't feel American, nigga.
Right.
You know, call me African, nigga, or call me black. You know what I mean? I don't, this ain't my home, nigga. I'm just here. Yeah. You know what I mean?
That's real shit. I don't take offense at all, but I would feel way more comfortable.
At all, period.
Yeah, I'll feel way more comfortable being called like an African Virginian. You know what I mean? Because that's where my family, my roots and all that shit is from. I don't give a fuck about America like that.
I don't even claim Missouri, nigga. Like I said, I'm from St. Louis, shit, USA. Right. So call me an African St. Louisan. I fuck with that. But yeah, African American feels like, you know, I can't curse around you if you call me an African American. You know what I mean? If you're talking hip hop instead of rap, it feels a particular way. You know what I mean? Yeah. So she sounded like somebody that's observing blackness and not participating in it. So she's right. She doesn't identify as black. We see it. Good for you, I guess.
All right. Let's. One thing I've been very grateful to Will Smith for is that he has enormously eased my tension about the upcoming Duke-UNC shit show that Duke is going to win by 20 points. As I stated when we were recording last weekend, before we knew it was going to happen, UNC is going to win that game. And I feel like Duke is going to win this game going away. I fucking hate it. Tyler had the tweet of the week for me with his, can we please stop the, you're always going to appreciate that Coach K made you feel something. You know, I'm not even Coach K. Like, no, we don't have to appreciate Coach K. We don't have to appreciate Duke. We can just be miserable that they're going to win. And then they're going to fucking get Nova for the championship because we know that that's what's going to happen.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I will say that I'm not as stressed as I feel like I should be as a Carolina fan right now. Maybe it's because, like I said, Coach K, you know, even though he was the villain, the bad guy, he never evoked any emotion out of me because he was just so fucking bland, bro. Like, you know what I'm saying? There was nothing outrageous or exuberant about him to hate. He was just a grumpy old man, and it's like, it's time for your old ass to goddamn ride off into the sunset, bro. We don't care.
I'm not sold on him losing. I don't know if UNC is going to lose. It's the pressure. It's a lot of pressure for those Duke players. I mean, you coming out like super amp doesn't guarantee a win. It might be the other way around, bro. UNC might be more comfortable and just ready to play, you know, just, you know. So, like, I don't think when it comes to, like, 18, 19, 20-year-old kids, pressure is ever a benefit. You know what I'm saying? So
I don't know that I would agree about – I mean, I think that there's – I think there's a lot of pressure on the UNC kids, though, too. You know what I mean?
You think so?
Yeah, because I think anytime you are anytime there's a rematch and you won the first one,
they're supposed to lose, though. You know what I mean?
Like, anytime there's a rematch and you won the first one, I feel like there's a certain kind of pressure on you that's like, well, now the stage is bigger, right? Like, can you do it now when it really, really counts? Like, I feel like that's its own animal, especially when it's your rival and you know how much it meant to your fan base that you beat them at Duke for his last game at home. You know what I mean?
According to media, though, they're supposed to lose. According to media, they want Coach K to win.
Right.
You know what I mean? So they're trying to upset somebody. I think there's less pressure in upsetting somebody. When you're a good team, obviously.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like what St. Peter's would have had to do to upset, you know, like Kentucky was insane.
Right.
To upset UNC in that moment was insane. I don't think this is that insane of them winning. But I feel like those players feel like on the Duke side, we can't lose. And going into a game saying we can't lose,
right.
You know what I'm saying, is way more pressure than we have a chance of winning, guys.
Right.
Let's shock the world. You feel what I'm saying?
It could be. I mean, I hope so. To be honest with you, it would be the funniest thing if UNC wins that game.
Oh, bro. And Will Smith slapping at UNC winning, nigga. That's a week. It's 2014 right this motherfucker. You feel me? There's some good old laughs going on. You know what I mean? Stomach laughs.
Yeah, that Coach K pack will be
Hey, definitely smoke. I'll light something up, mix it with some Blue Dream. You know what I mean? Cut that Blue Dream with some Coach K.
I think that Villanova-Kansas game is going to be interesting, too. It is definitely fucking Blue Blood Final Four. You get Duke, UNC, and Kansas in that shit. This, you know, that's something. Kansas to me is like what Tyler was saying about Coach K. I've driven across the length of Kansas twice. It didn't evoke any emotions in me during that entire time. The basketball team.
You talking about the state?
Yeah.
Bro, it's just corn.
It's not even corn.
Bro, I remember driving through middle America, I guess. I mean, I guess Missouri's considered middle America too, but I remember driving
Missouri's beautiful though.
Yeah. But I'm saying considered middle America. Right. Like, I don't know what is that. That's more west of Midwest. Is that just the west?
What? Kansas?
Is that Kansas?
Kansas,
that
it's a Midwest to me because I actually live on the west coast.
Yeah, but I mean, but it looks totally different from, you know.
It's just there.
It's the same shit the entire ride. You know what I mean? It's the same shit. I think Nebraska was where it was all the corn was at.
Nebraska, there was a lot of corn, and it's like, you know, at least there's something to look at, corn. This is better than the ground, I guess.
I felt like it was in a simulation of, like, you know, the same scene was running by me the whole time.
You're like an old cartoon. You're an old cartoon.
I'm on the green screen.
Yeah.
You know what
I
mean? It's, scrolling the same scene. That's how I felt in Kansas.
The women's tournament got really good in the Elite Eight. That UConn-South Carolina game was incredible. Unfortunately, UConn win. I'm a big Geno hater. So, not South Carolina. But the double overtime win in the Elite Eight was crazy. I hate that they give fucking UConn as a 2 seed a fucking home game for the fucking Sweet 16 and Elite Eight. I understand the narrative is the narrative and all that shit, but 14 straight Final Fours for UConn. I always tell people my greatest sign of respect for the women's game is that I hate people in the women's game. I don't want
to be good enough to dislike.
That's right. You know I don't watch women's basketball as this. I watch it because I enjoy it. And as such, there are coaches and players that I strongly dislike. I will always root against Geno. I will always root against UConn people playing against anyone who came out of Tennessee or Candace Parker or anyone. But this feels similarly. UConn is the upset special as the only 2 seed joining the 3 other 1 seeds in the women's Final Four. And go Stanford. I guess that's all I can, say.
I love.
Last season on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
Lily Herman, my co-host in season one, helped me choose a team, a driver, and then...
Well, we sent you on your jolly way.
Yeah.
I'm Tony Karen Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
I'm Michael Costa, comedian, Daily Show correspondent.
And we're back with season two because, as it turns out, F1's newest fan is still a little...
dazed and confused.
Join us for season two of Choosing Sides F1 as we dive deeper into the rabbit hole of the pinnacle of motorsports.
Who makes money here?
What's CFD?
How do you manage a tire?
You, get back in there.
What are the rumors? What's the gossip?
But you also know that someone's listening to your radio.
I'm going to pull up a picture of a tea cozy. I want to see what this thing looks like.
Are you going to be doing that accent this whole pod?
Listen to season two of Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcast. You find it.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying 4th season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddy, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Parents, if you've ever experienced bedtime battles with the kids, I'm going to let you into a little secret. I'm Abby, a mother of 2, and I had these battles myself. Endless excuses, delay tactics, and many tears and tantrums, but I've created a solution. The perfect kids podcast that makes bedtime a dream. It's called Koala Moon, and it's hosted by me, Abby. With over 300 episodes packed with original stories and sleep meditations, Koala Moon makes bedtimes easy and enjoyable. Episodes start out engaging and really rather magical, but as they progress, they gently slow to a calm and relaxing pace to have your little ones out like a light. Since launching in 2022, Koala Moon has helped with over 20 million nights sleep and received over 6,000 five-star reviews. Win back your evenings. Listen to Koala Moon now on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You can't fully understand the moment we're living in without knowing where we've been. On every episode of NPR's Throughline, we take a story from the news and go back in time to where it started, where it really started. To answer one important question, how did we get here? Find NPR's Throughline on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Paige, bro. I just love...
I hate like that she plays like, for UConn, John.
Her junior year in high school, bro. I'm like, this motherfucker got that.
Yes.
Whatever that is and that it is, bro, she got all of it, bro. She understands the game on a different level. And watching her play as a junior, I'm like, she's a pro already.
If she played, you know, if she played for Louisville or UCLA, my kids would have Paige jerseys. And I just hate that she went to UConn.
Could you imagine a Paige Becker jersey? Man. But I mean, like that's what's interesting about like the women's game. Like, you hate UConn. Like, Duke players, a lot of times you don't like them even if after they leave. I know I see a lot of hate after they leave. Like, still, fuck them, you went to Duke. With UConn players, you know what I'm saying? You can respect the player once they're a professional. You know what I mean? Like,
usually, yeah, for sure. Yep.
Well, I mean, who on UConn do you not like that play for UConn? I know you ain't going to say White Mamba because she a dog. And it was hard not to like her when she was at UConn. And I grew up and I was in Tennessee at the time.
It's some personal stuff that goes back to high school that I probably shouldn't talk about on the podcast.
Okay, we'll wait. Sorry, guys.
I'll tell you all
not even going to get cut. He's not even going to say this shit. Can't even fight him not to cut that shit.
Well, I don't want people knowing. Someone went from a high school that we don't appreciate here in Long Beach to a college that we don't appreciate. And I don't necessarily want to put it out there that they were a 10th grader. Sure. And I was like, you fucking overrated.
Yeah, right.
But behind closed doors, that's how some of us felt. I just put it like that. All right. So let's talk about that.
They weren't, though.
Huh?
They weren't.
They still got their shit took by a freshman from an inner city school named Long Beach Poly, but that's okay. All right. everyone in Long Beach who follows basketball knows what I'm talking about now.
Oh, hey, kiddo. How was the hill?
Educational.
Oh, learn a new trick?
Yeah, the trick to a happy, fulfilling life, maybe. I learned that mountain air unleashes my inner peace. And rip and pow, well, the whole crew's all, yoo, induces spontaneous joy.
Okay, that's nice.
The Icon Pass lets you do you at 50 destinations worldwide from $249 adult. Drop in for next winter now and save at iconpass.com.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Look through your children's eyes to see the true magic of a forest. It's a storybook world for them. You look and see a tree. They see the wrinkled face of a wizard with arms outstretched to the sky. They see treasure in pebbles. They see a windy path that could lead to adventure. And they see you, their fearless guide through this fascinating world.
Find a forest near you and start exploring at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Continue betting the bracket with a bang. Right now, FanDuel Sportsbook is giving new customers $150 instant bonus guaranteed. That's right, you'll get $150 in bonus site credit, and all you have to do is place your first bet of $5 or more. How you bet the bracket is up to you. You can choose from the money line, totals, prop bets, and so much more. As we've been discussing on the show, definitely going to be rooting very hard for UNC. So hoping that they have a great game in the Final Four against Duke coming up on Saturday. That is the team that I would take a chance on to turn my site credit into cash. Plus, with Cash Out, the ball's in your court, so you can close out your bet whenever you want before the game is over. Join FanDuel today with promo code JANJ. That's J-A-N-D-J. Then you can place your $5 bet to score $150 in bonus site credit guaranteed. That's promo code JANJ on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Disclaimer, must be 21 and over and present in Arizona, Colorado, Connecticut, Iowa, Illinois, Indiana, Louisiana, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, Wyoming, or West Virginia. First online real money wager only, $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires 14 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. Let's talk about, I was laid up yesterday, so I got to watch the whole Bucks-Sixers game. I dislike strongly the way we do the MVP race in the NBA. We've talked about this on the show, that it's so like only certain people are allowed to be in the conversation, and we get tired of giving the award to people. I'll just say this. I watched the Bucks-Sixers game in Philly, and Giannis is the best fucking basketball player in the NBA. He was an MVP, and also this year probably the most improved player. He's added so much to his game and gained so much confidence in the things he's added. That dude's fucking nasty, bro. Yeah. I think at the end of this year, we are all going to be looking back going, it's dumb that the Bucks were not the overwhelming favorite for this year. That's the way I feel about it, bro. I think that this is their fucking year. And I think we're in their era right now, to be completely honest with you.
Yeah, it's kind of like a lot of people feel like no one has really differentiated themselves in this MVP race. And if that's how your stance, what, Giannis had what, 40-11 last night and the game winning block at the cup on Embiid?
Okay, and you're not surprised by it.
On the other,
right, exactly. So I mean, if you've got, you know, everybody in like a deadlock right now, you've got to fucking have Giannis in the lead after that performance, because he showed you why he's so valuable. He gave you 40-11 and a fucking game winning block on a fucking 7-foot MVP candidate, right?
Helps.
So
side.
I mean, yeah,
a rotational block.
Yeah. So I mean, like I've been saying for a few months that Giannis is my MVP, and no one has swayed me off of that this season.
Best player on the best team. Watching them play live was insane. That is the best team in basketball. You know what I'm saying? So, I love KD. I love the Nets. I love Kyrie. The team ain't fucking with the Bucks. The Bucks are the coldest team out there. We'll see what happens. You know what I mean? But Giannis, if you say there's anybody else better than him in the league right now, you're just lying to yourself. You know, you need medicine. You know, go to the doctor, get checked up. Something's going on right now. Check, you know what I'm saying? You deserve better.
Yeah.
This is not normal. He's incredible.
And I was talking to Jackson before you guys hopped on. I don't know if it's because he's so likable or if it's because he's not American or what. Like, he doesn't fit into a lot of the narratives that we've had with – he doesn't have a natural foil, I guess. But it just feels like the narrative overlooks him in a weird way of – I think there's a very realistic chance that by the time this dude retires, he's right up there with anyone else we could talk about. I mean, he just does shit you've not seen anyone else do. And he's still at this point in his career adding completely new dimensions to his game. You don't feel like he's going to stop working on stuff like that. You know, even Bron, like Bron's the ultimate master of getting the most out of his body. He knew at this point in his career, you feel like he knew the things he was good at. You know what I mean? He wasn't. So I don't know, man. I'm not trying to overreact to one game, but it is. I mean, I'm very interested to see where the playoffs go, because I feel like Nick Wright said last night, he doesn't think they're playing six games until the finals, I think he said. I don't know if I go that far, but I don't know. I just don't see anyone fucking with those dudes. Everyone on the team knows what they're good at. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. And they stick to it. They stick to it. They know their roles. You feel me?
We're going to continue. It gets harder by the week to unappreciate Jokic, and I'm going to continue to fucking do it. So whatever.
I mean, the thing is like this. I think this is with Giannis, bro. It's the same thing with Bron, bro. Bron came in super polished. We didn't have as much to work on, right? But Bron was like, dog, Bron's supposed to do this. That's what we all thought at some point. Like, we see amazing shit, and we just think it's normal. Like, the fact that he's leading the league in scoring right now, like, it doesn't feel as crazy as it really fucking is.
Right.
Because it's fucking Bron.
Yeah, because they told us when he was 17 he was going to do this shit. Right.
We've been seeing him dribble once from, you know, once and a euro from fucking three quarters court and get to the bucket. Yeah. We've seen this amazing block. So him blocking Embiid doesn't feel as amazing as it actually is because it's Giannis. He's supposed to do that.
Right.
So, yeah.
But when Bron, at the age that Bron was on the cover of Sports Illustrated as the chosen one, Giannis was like practically homeless selling watches with his mom. You know what I mean? I think that's part of it is, in America, you know, and it's corporate, right? I mean, like, the having seen it firsthand, the corporate interests know who the dudes are when they're fucking 15 before the colleges and the pro teams do sometimes. But it's like a, if not an assembly line, it is like ranks. Like, you know, right now, you go look at the rankings for fucking 8th grade, 9th grade players, and you can kind of progress. Like, Chet Holmgren's been Chet Holmgren since he was – had just come out of puberty. You know what I mean?
Right,
so
right,
you,
right.
Those names are around, and then a Giannis comes through, and, like, I don't know. I just don't think he fits into that like, narrative we have of, oh, it's going to be this guy versus this guy for the next 15 years. You know what I mean? So we'll see. I'm very excited for the fucking playoffs, though. I'll say that, man. I cannot wait.
It's gonna be a humdinger.
It's gonna be a real humdinger. The Lakers aren't gonna be there.
The Lakers will not be there. Right.
But they're down one and a half to San Antonio now.
I think they're tied, but don't have the tiebreaker. But the Lakers' schedule over the last 2 weeks is not the schedule that you would want for a team that, you know, it just doesn't look like they have it, bro. I don't know.
Not good and not healthy. You know what I'm saying? What everybody thought they were going to be on the health side, they were that, and they weren't as good. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. So, the experiment didn't work, guys.
It's a wraparooski.
That AD Westbrook pick and roll wasn't pick and rolling like it was supposed to. You feel me?
You win this round, LeJonathan.
I won the Bucks. I said the Bucks was gonna win the chip last time. I said the Nets this year. I'm gonna take that L.
I'm squatting on that. But I said the Bucks were gonna win the championship. I think in our preview, I'm gonna just continue to sit cozy by that fire. But I did also think the Lakers were right. Coming out of the West. So.
I mean, I thought they'd figure it out because of Bron. That's the thing. Like, right. We thought Bron could just out Bron whatever. You know what I'm saying? Because I didn't think Westbrook was the best fit. I didn't think I would be a fan of him on my team.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But I thought Bron would be able to Bron. And
he has, but the team has not.
The team hasn't done what they, they haven't done the minimum, you know what I mean, that it takes for Bron to even do his thing. So
let's talk about the investigative journalism that happened on Twitter, where someone pointed out they went and looked at every L graphic that the Lakers have tweeted. You know, you tweet the final score and it's got a picture on it. They said that Bron has not yet appeared in one of those graphics.
I saw that.
I think Malik Monk.
Kenny Beecham. Got to shout out Kenny Beecham.
Kenny Beecham.
Got to shout him out.
Yes, thank you.
Bron, Russ, or AD have not appeared in any losing graphics until last night after the Heat came down on them from this investigative journalism. They put Russ on the losing graphic. Did y'all see that?
Yes, I did. Yeah. I got it. That's why I wanted to bring it up. I got a good laugh at it. He flipped it on the Lakers social team. But I wouldn't be.
Bob Woodward. I bet he was hot too. I bet he was hot when he saw it.
Well, but he said he wonders if it's in Bron's contract. That's legitimately a possibility. Mm-hmm. I know with.
As someone as image conscious as Bron, I would not be surprised at all if that's in his contract.
Well, look, and you know, I don't know much about the way it works in the pros, but I know at the collegiate level, teams, like when a corporation sponsors a team, a lot of times you'll see the like final tweet presented by Mitchell and Tires or whatever. A lot of colleges do have that agreement in place with the corporations. The corporations are like, don't put our name on the loss graphic. You know what I mean?
If y'all get dubbed, please don't put us on
But that's
there.
In the legal language. If you lose in some cases, if you lose by a certain number of points, leave us out of that. Jamba Juice does not want our ad on that.
Right. Right.
Leave your stench of failure off of us.
This shit's weird, bro. Everything about the sports world, it's like the more all that stuff is split up and commoditized, it's just so fucking bizarre. Imagine being a lawyer sitting there going, what's the number that we don't want to be associated with in terms of an L? Okay, we do have to talk about Bron, the most relatable moment of his recent career, going on Instagram and absolutely annoying the shit out of his wife. I think all three of us can relate to this moment that happened. John, can you break that down? What happened on Bron's Instagram?
No, let Tyler break it down because I think Tyler has a different perspective. I remember you were talking about how you felt about it. You thought he was annoying his wife. I thought he was just being.
You thought he was being corny, but I think Tyler's correct that he was intentionally annoying his wife.
I think I think he was intentionally doing the cool guy act. Who's, you know, purposely being corny with it. You know what I mean? Because that is my go-to with my wife, too. You know what I mean? Like, annoying my wife is a love language of mine. You know, it's a love language of ours. So, yeah, I don't think he was serious because, for one, he put that font in script. He put a fucking key emoji. He did the slow pan and then did the cheesy guy smile at the end. I think he was clowning, bro.
Have y'all seen Tyler? I mean, have y'all seen LeBron's IG? His captions are always horrible.
But Savannah.
No, but Tyler, you're comparing him to you. You're funny. You know what I'm saying? You're funny. You know what I mean? You've always been funny. Bron's never been funny. All of a sudden, he's funny now?
He's always funny being the corny dude with his family, though.
He's funny accidentally, and this is him being accidentally funny again. This nigga difference between a player and a player. That's some Bron-ass shit, and you know he's my favorite player of all time. I love him to death. I've slobbed him down for fucking damn near his entire career. I've loved the man. But gee, the dude is not funny, and he was just being himself. But Tyler, you can't compare him to you at all. Of course, you're doing that shit, bro. You know what I mean?
But Savannah
was looking. Did you see Savannah laugh?
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. He panned back to Savannah for the reaction. He was for sure trying to get a reaction out of her.
And what was her reaction?
Her reaction was
Savannah had the "Oh my god, not this again" reaction though. That my wife has when I'm being, you know, intentionally annoying. You know what I mean?
I guess.
He'd rather
be laughing at me. She'd be laughing. I get an actual laugh when I'm trying to be.
Well,
funny,
yes, but when you're trying to be annoying. Yeah, for sure.
You get those, exactly. You see what I'm saying? So, obviously. So, that nigga, she was looking like this nigga. You know what I mean? I think that was too close to a this nigga, not a him doing it again. That was a, I don't know, bro. That looked like a, all right, bro, put the camera down, nigga. You drunk. It's too much vino. That's what it looked like to me. But
all right,
it was funny either way. I don't care. I love the man, and I love what they got going on
for sure. And I love him leaning into being a corny dad that his family laughs at. That's the world needs more. That's good. It's good to go home. You're LeBron James when you walk outside your door for your whole life, and when you walk back home, you're the annoying ass dad. I think everyone needs that balance. You know who's at the.
It's the one thing he's regular at. You know what I mean? He's a great dad, but he's regular to his people.
Right,
you know what I'm
sure.
saying? And that's fire.
I remember just watching the first time he put one of the Taco Tuesday clips up, being like, "Oh, Bron thinks he's Mike Garabasio. He's just being stupid.
Also,
he's just being stupid to his kids for laughs, bro."
Right. But hey, but did you see Bronny when they asked him to do it? Bronny was like, "All right."
Yeah.
AD was like, "I guess I'm just happy to be here. I'll do it." But Bronny was like, "Dad, like they know they dad. He's square when it comes to that,
yes,
and that's good for him,
for sure.
man. Good for him.
For sure,
good
for sure.
him."
All right.
Ain't wrong with it.
Tyler and I are going to talk about winning time. John was on the PJ, so he didn't get a chance to catch the winning time from this week yet.
I don't want to. I think if you are at a particular level and you want to spend your money that way, I get it, bro. But I'm so fucking. I'm a basic bitch. I like basic shit. You know what I'm saying? That little ass plane. You feel me? Like, I'm too scary for all that, G. Put me on this, like I said, Southwest, your boy, man. Send me through security. I take my shoes off, all of that.
I appreciate,
you know, the PJ shit.
I'm glad you said that because now I know that I don't need to try it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, okay, Tyler would love the shit. Tyler cool. Tyler gonna be like, shit, fuck security. I'm hopping in this bitch. You know what I'm saying? I'll catch y'all in Vegas. Me, I'm like, oh shit, I can't enjoy this shit like I should have. So, you know, put me in the regular boy, baby. Catch me on row 15. You know what I mean? Aisle seat, please. Thank you. You know what I mean?
Oh, fuck.
Now, it was a great pick for IG, though. You know, it was cool throwing the L's up with the St. Louis fitted on for the crib. You feel me? But yeah, I'm a regular nigga. Let me just do my regular nigga shit, please.
Tyler, I think we got one of the last introductions of a main character with Jason Segel coming in as Paul Westhead, who I thought was fucking hilarious. But more importantly, you keyed in on, I thought, the best moment of this show, which was the very Adam McKay styled soliloquy about the difference between old basketball and new basketball, at least as far as, you know, it was for the Lakers in the 70s and 80s. So
yeah, that shit was beautiful. That soliloquy, that Jack McKinney had about how traditional half-court offenses are classical music and full-court fast-break offenses are jazz, where, you know, it's improvising. There's nothing bounding you. You can go wherever, you know, you know the feeling takes you, and you can make art out of that. I thought that was fucking beautiful. I ran that shit back like 5 times. Yes, I was high, but that has nothing to do with that. Because I thought that shit was amazing. That is probably like my favorite segment in the whole series so far.
Yeah, and just a little like visual cue of the lines coming off the paper. Like, I think they're doing a great job of capturing whatever kind of creative person you are, if you're a basketball coach or a musician or a writer. Everyone's experienced that feeling of, I'm working on something that just became bigger than the thing I'm looking at. You know what I mean? And I thought they showed the soliloquy was beautiful, but graphically the way they did it was beautiful too. And then I just love that the show is involved enough to tell the story about how much everyone hated that shit when he first started putting it in the training camp. That was so perfect to me, because can you imagine someone's just, like, you're Kareem, bro. Everything you've done, you've had an impeccable career to this point. You've won at every level. You've been so good. They changed rules to try and make the shit harder for you. And then this dude comes in and says, you're not running enough, bro.
Right.
Like, you're standing still. You're slowing the ball down too much. Like, I, you know, you can imagine where the tension would have come at on that shit.
Yeah. Like you're asking fucking Kareem, you know what I'm saying? And early 30s Kareem, yo, there's going to be times you're going to have to get out there and run on the fast break, and you're going to be the guy to give it back on the give and go. Like, you know, right. you know, how do you tell fucking Kareem that? You know what I mean? So, yeah. I thought they definitely did a good job in showing, you know, how much the pushback was there, which I imagine it was, because, you know, like we talked about before, like, you know, that the fast break full court transition offense, that was groundbreaking at the time. And it's standard fare now, of course. But back then, I'm sure they were like, this is ridiculous. This is not going to work. You know what I mean? You want us to run the whole fucking game, all fucking, every fucking game, all season. That's not going to work. We're going to drop dead out here. And you know what I'm saying? And I can see when that was first being implemented, those being real concerns. But of course, we know how the Showtime Lakers stories end. They get 5 rings playing that style of basketball. So of course it obviously worked.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it did, but it always seems inevitable after it works. Right.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, oh, Magic is a 6'8" point guard. Absolutely. Well, obviously. But that's because we saw it work. Of course, at the time, you can see a coach saying, I don't know, maybe he should play the 4, you know?
Right.
I did love the moment from Magic where he got into the fight at training camp. He said, I might be a rookie, but I'm not a bitch. Like,
real one.
John just became very intrigued in watching this episode.
Oh, bro, yeah. We going to have to watch that tonight, dog. That, hey, man, that touched me in my soul, you feel me?
Well, that's what we were talking about with Chris Rock and the professionalism. It was like, we needed that moment from Magic, because you know that at some point he goes from being the, you know, small town, you know, big smile dude to at least a little bit of a killer. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so we needed to see that from more than just him beating up on Cookie's fucking boyfriend who worked at the shoe store.
Did that man dirty.
I hope he eyed out there wherever you are, man. They shouldn't even they didn't have to highlight that.
We need a Where Are They Now feature.
Right, where is man's? You know, he's still at the shoe store, probably. Hopefully he owned that motherfucker though, man.
All right. That's all the time we've got for this episode of Jenkins and Jones. We'll be back on Monday. Playoffs are right around the corner. Final Four is coming up. Lots of fun basketball shit to talk about. Very excited. I can't wait for this playoffs, man. Yeah. I cannot fucking
good time of year, man. Good time of year. We gonna have a lot to talk about for sure.
Bye.
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 Gorgeous gaming, stunning streams, unbelievable bandwidth. It's another Lifestyles of Gagillionaires. Meet the AT&T Fiber customers winning at life with hyper gig speeds. Meet Gagillionaire Terry. While his love of streaming horror movies has him constantly on the edge of his seat, his internet bill won't give him a scare.
Oh, don't go in there. I'm telling you.
Because since Terry upgraded to AT&T Fiber with hyper gig speeds, he doesn't worry about data caps or equipment fees.
Come on, man. The door's open for a reason.
And best yet, he also doesn't stress about a price increase at 12 months. Because with the amazing Gagillionaire lifestyle comes an exquisite sense of tranquility. Most of the time.
Live like a Gagillionaire. Get straightforward pricing with AT&T Fiber, internet that upgrades everything. No data caps, no equipment fees, and no price increase in 12 months.
Limited availability in select areas. Visit att.com/hypergig for details.
Look through your children's eyes, and you will discover the true magic of a forest.
Find a forest near you and start exploring at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Last season, on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
We did, but honestly, I was left with more questions than answers, Tony.
I'm Tony Karen Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
And I'm Michael Costa, comedian from The Daily Show.
Join us for season 2 of Choosing Sides F1.
Our F1 102, if you will.
And get all of the answers.
All of them? Listen to Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Freddie Prinz Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Parents, if you've ever experienced bedtime battles with the kids, I'm going to let you into a little secret. The Koala Moon podcast has revolutionized over 20 million bedtimes, with parents like you calling it life-changing and the perfect nighttime routine. With original kids' bedtime stories and cozy sleep meditations, every episode has been specially designed to make bedtimes a dream. Listen to Koala Moon on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You can't fully understand the moment we're living in without knowing where we've been. On every episode of NPR's Throughline, we take a story from the news and go back in time to where it started, where it really started. To answer one important question, how did we get here? Find NPR's Throughline on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.